We're holding on Zion Omud Beis, about 10 lines from the top line, by the two dots. 10 lines from the top. We said in the Mishnah that another case where the sukkah is possible is v'shachamasa meruba mitzilasa psula, if the sukkah has more sun than shade. And we said in the Mishnah, Rashi had mentioned that the whole purpose of the sukkah, the name of the sukkah even comes from the schach. So if you don't have a majority of it covered, if you don't have a majority of it screened with shade by the schach, then it can't really be called a sukkah. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Chamosa machmas sikuch v'loy machmas tvanos. Now what that means is, we care if you have more sun than shade only from the point of view of the schach. We don't care about the walls. In other words, even if you have a lot of sunlight comes in through the walls, we don't care about that. We learned yesterday you could even have, conceivably, the walls of a sukkah could be made out of, let's say, out of stakes that are one next to the other, each within three tefachim of the next, and it'll be kosher, even though, of course, you're going to have a lot more space between those. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshia Omer af machmas tfonis, Rabbi Yoshia says that no, also you need to look at whether you have more sun than shade from the point of view of the walls. So according to him, something like that, an arrangement like that, where you have a lot of sunlight coming in through the walls, would also be possible. Amar Rav Yehima bar Shlemi Mishmei Da'abaya, my time of the Rav Yoshia, why does Rav Yoshia say that? So, dichtiv, because the Pasuk says about the Poreiches, it says, V'sakosa al ha'oren es ha'poreiches, it's Hashem tells Moshe how to set up the Mishkan. He tells him at one point, you should bring in the Oren to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then V'sakosa, you put the Poreiches, V'sakosa al ha'oren, you make shade over the Oren as a Poreiches. Now, V'sakosa is the same shade as a Schach. So what it means is, Alma, so Poreichas Mechitza, the Poreichas, after all, is a Mechitza, it's hanging vertically, it's not horizontally over the Aron, it's vertically in front of the Aron, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'kakai Rachmanas Tzchocha, and we see that the Torah calls it Tzchocha, it calls it V'sakosa, Alma Mechitza Kishach Veinen. Therefore, says Rabbi Yoshia, you see from that the walls also have to be like the Tzchach, insofar as that you don't have more, given that we're saying that there's a sukkah, there's only a sukkah because it has more shade than sun, and the Chachamim are saying that applies to the schach, then Rabbi Yoshia says, based on this pasuk, it has to apply to the walls as well. Does that mean that all the other dinim of the schach would apply to the walls as well? For example, according to Rabbi Yoshia, could you make the walls out of things that are makabel tumah or don't grow from the ground or what have you? There's a rishon called the Rav Yah who says that, as a matter of fact, according to Rabbi Yoshia, we would have to say that all the dinim of schach apply to the walls as well. So they would have to be made out of things that grow from the ground that are not makabel tumah, etc., just like the schach. What Tosfos says over here, there's two ways of understanding. One, the Marshal understands Tosfos to be saying that even Rabbi Yoshia is not going to go that far. He's still going to say that the walls could be made out of other materials. We just don't want there to be gaps in them such that sunlight is going to be coming in. On the other hand, Marshal understands Tosfos more like the Rav Yah, that in fact Tosfos would say that according to Rabbi Yoshia, yes, they have to be made out of the same kind of material as the Tzach. V'rabbanan, how do the Chachamim answer back to that? What do they do with that pasuk, the Sakosa? The answer is, Ahud Neko Fe Purta. They say what it means is, when you're putting up the Pareches, you're right. It is vertical, but it's not completely vertical. You bend it over a little bit, to Mechzik Eschach, so that it resembles Eschach. So a little bit of it is hanging horizontally, and then a little bit of it is put up so it's attached to the top of the Mishkan horizontally, and then from there it hangs down vertically. So for that horizontal part, that little bit, it can be called schach on that ground. Not to say that walls by themselves, vertical walls, would be considered schach. The halacha, of course, is like the Chachamim, which is why we learned yesterday about all the various dinim involving gaps in the walls and things like that. Rabbeinu Manoach, actually, one of the early Mefoshim, one of the early Noisekelim on the Rambam, gives a logical reason behind it. He said, what the Chachamim are saying and why it is that there's no problem with gaps in the wall, but there's a problem with gaps in the schach. He says, you look at it, for example, a palace, It's very common that they have gaps in the walls because they want to have fresh air come in. So you have large windows and you have columns and you have doors and whatever, but you would never have gaps in the roof because you don't want rain to leak in. You don't want sunlight to come in where it shouldn't. Therefore, it's more logical that the schach has to be intact and the walls don't. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Rebbe, V'Rab Yoshia, V'Rab Yehuda, V'Rab Shimon, V'Rab Gamliel, Obis Shammai, V'Rab Eliezer, V'Acherim, all of these Tanoim that we just listed, Kut Macherim usually means your mayor, Kulu Svir Lohu Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. All of them hold in one way or another that the Sukkah has to be a permanent dwelling. Now, it doesn't mean, Tosfos says, it doesn't mean that all of them necessarily agree with each other's shittis. We could demonstrate, in fact, that not, because, for example, the Shammai, we said on Daf Gimel, holds that a Sukkah has to be at least 7 by 7 tefachim, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe, who's also on this list, held that it had to be 4 by 4 amos. And there's other examples where we can demonstrate that each one doesn't necessarily hold of all the other details that the other one does. But each of them says in their own way that there has to be a kvius to the sukkah. Let's go through them. Rebbe, where do we see that Rebbe holds of such a thing? The Tanya, because we learned a few days ago. Rebbe omer kol sukkah she'en ba'arba amos al dalav amos psula. Rebbe said a sukkah has to be 4 by 4 amos. And the implication was, we said, because a house has to be 4 by 4, we said, therefore, Rebbe held a sukkah needs to be the same thing, whereas the Chachamim, we said that a sukkah, after all, is only a diras arai. Given that you're only staying in there a week, then it doesn't really have to have as much permanence, and it doesn't even have to be that big, even if it's only big enough for your head and most of your body and your table, then that's good enough. So we see that Rebbe holds the sukkah needs a certain kvius that the Chachamim say it doesn't. Next. Rav Yoshia Hodamoran, Rav Yoshia, we see that from what he just said, that the walls also have to be without any gaps between them, which is more like a house. Rav Yehuda, where do we see that Rav Yehuda says that? It's not in the first Mishnah. We said, Sukkashi Gvoila, Gvoila Mailam Chof Am Apsula, Rav Yehuda Machshir. We said Rav Yehuda is Machshir, a Sukkah that's taller than 20 Amos. Now, where do we see from that? So one of the explanations that we had on Beis Amud Aleph, why the Chachamim say it's possible below 20 amos, we said was Rava's explanation that below 20 amos, that below 20 amos it's possible to build the sukkah as a temporary thing, but above 20 amos, necessarily you're going to have to build permanent walls because temporary walls won't last. So we could say that the Gemara is bringing from that. The problem with that is that there we actually had Abaya asking on Rava and saying, Rava, I don't accept your understanding of that because the fact is below 20 amos, you are allowed to build at Sukkas Keva. So, okay, Rava gave him an answer. So, in fact, the Balam Mor says, you see from this Gemara over here, apparently Abaya changed his mind. He argued with Rava over there, but then after Rava gave him the answer, then he agreed, and therefore he's saying now that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah has to be Diras Keva. On the other hand, different other Rishonim talk about not necessarily, it might be that this is not Abaya saying it at all. It might be Abaya himself says that Rav Yehuda is in this category. The Gemara, the sum of the Gemara, when Ravina and Rav Ashi arranged the Gemara, they added this proof from that Mishnah. Abaya himself might be learning it from other sources. For example, in the Masechta Yuma, Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah during sukkahs is chayiv and a mezuzah. Later in our Masechta, we're going to have a couple of different places where we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah has to have a certain kvius to it. For example, we're going to have something in the next Mishnah regarding a double-decker sukkah, one sukkah on top of another, where Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only kosher if the top one is able to, has a sturdy floor, if the schach is thick, and various other ones like that. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds of this concept that a sukkah has to have a certain permanence. So not necessarily is Abaya learning it from the Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting here at all. That might just be the stum of the Gemara editorializing and adding that. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos actually says that maybe even Abaya does learn it from there, because they say, fine, Abaya didn't agree with Rava's answer, but the fact is, it's true that when you build a sukkah higher than 20 amos, it needs to have a certain kvius there. And Abaya didn't accept that that's the reason why the Chachamim would pass a little above 20 amos, but he may well say, you see from that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a sukkah needs a kvius. Next, Reb Shimon, where do we see Reb Shimon holds a sukkah needs to have a kvius? The Tanya, as we learned yesterday, Beis Kilchos and Gimur Akilu Tefach. The Chachamim had said that a sukkah just has to have two complete walls, and then the third one can just be a tefach. Reb Shimon had Gimur Kilchos and the Dalar Akilu Tefach. Reb Shimon had said it had to have three complete walls and the beginning of a fourth, showing that he holds it has to have a certain kvius. It has to be more like a house than that than otherwise, and therefore we have to have three complete walls. Next, Rav Gamliel. Where do we see Rav Gamliel holds of such a concept? The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa in connection with a Mishnah in the next parak. Ha'oisa sukkase b'roish ha'gala oi b'roish ha'spinah. If a person makes a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a ship, so on top of a wagon, Rashi explains, the problem is the wagon moves, so therefore it seems like it seems more arai, it seems more a temporary thing. A ship, Rashi says, rather, the problem is that the wind is going to, that the wind is more likely to blow it down. Tosfos brings over here, maybe we're not Gerdes Berosh HaGola, because maybe there's no problem, even according to Rav Gamliel, having it on a moving vehicle. The problem is only when you put it on a ship, and winds at sea are stronger than winds on land, so therefore, according to him, it would have to be strong enough to withstand sea winds, which again means that it has to have more of a fierce. Anyway, so Rav Gamliel points over Rav Akiva Machshir, so Rav Gamliel says that a sukkah is also, Rav Akiva says it's kosher. So again, you see that Rav Gamliel holds that a sukkah has to have a certain kevah there. Of course, the halacha is not like Rav Gamliel, and the halacha is not like most of these opinions over here. There are a couple. There's a rule that the Gaonim say ein halacha kishita. When the Gemara gives a list of Tanoim who say that, and it says all of them hold such and such, usually that amounts to saying that it means the halacha is not like them at all. It means like all of them hold that way, but the Chachamim, which is the greater number of Chachamim, hold differently. And especially since we said that even among themselves, they don't necessarily agree on all the details. So each one, in his own thing that he says, is a das yochid that not necessarily would everybody else agree with him. Over here, that's basically the case, although there are a couple of the things over here where we say the halacha is like them. We have, we're going to have now about Beis Shammai's minimum size of a sukkah, 7x7 tefachim. We talked about on Gimel Amud Aleph that the halacha is like them. We're going to have another one as far as the shape of a sukkah in a minute. But in general, the halacha is not like most of these things. One of them being the halacha is not like Rav Gamliel. You can make a sukkah on top of a wagon, which is how we come to have sukkah mobiles nowadays. Okay. Onward. Beis Shammai. Where do we see that Beis Shammai holds this concept? The Tanan. Because we learned this on Gimel Amud Aleph also. Mishal Yerosh Yerub of a sukkah v'shochon v'sech habayis. If a person was sitting with his head and most of his body in the sukkah and his table inside the house, the Shammai postlin or with Silla Machshirin, the Shammai says it's possible, Silla says it's kosher. And we learned before on Gimel Amud Aleph that means that Beis Shammai is actually arguing with Beis Hillel on two details. Number one, the minimum size of a sukkah, where Beis Hillel is saying 6x6 tefachim is enough, and Beis Shammai says, no, it has to be 7x7, showing, in other words, you have to have room in there for a table, showing that it has to have a little more of a kavir, so it has to be more royal tashmish, it has to be more suitable for use with at least a piece of furniture. We said there was another machlokes that's also, if it's a large sukkah and a person just doesn't bother bringing a table in, what would be the din? But we're not focusing on that machlokes, we're focusing on the one about the size of the sukkah. Next, Rebbe Eliezer. Where do we see that Rebbe Eliezer holds of such a concept of that a sukkah has to have a kliyos? The Tanan. We learn at the end of our perek, ha'oisa sukkose k'min tzrif. If a person makes a sukkah in the shape of a tzrif, so Rashi explains that it looks kind of like a beehive. So it's roundish sort of, and the walls sort of the walls curve and form a roof. So it's shaped more like a dome. It's shaped more like a dome or something. Or the Rambam explains that it's something more like a teepee that comes to a point on top. Whatever the point is, it doesn't really have an actual roof. Or it's just smachal akoso, or if he put it next to the wall, in other words, he made it like a lean-to, he took the schach and leaned it, so one end of the poles are on the ground and the other end is leaning against the wall. Rabbi Eliezer points to Lafisha in Lagag. Rabbi Eliezer says even if it's large enough to be the size of a sukkah, 7x7x10, it's still possible because it doesn't have a roof. The Chum Machshir and the Chum say it's kosher. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sukkah has to have a kavius to it, and therefore it has to have a roof. So that's another one of these ones where we're going to say the halacha is like him, but not for the reason of sukkah diras keva, but rather for a different reason that we'll talk about at the end of the parak. That's the shem. Okay. And acherim, where do we see acherim addressing this? The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, acherim oimrim, sukkah hasuya keshoivach psula, a sukkah that's made like a birdhouse, which is round, is posel. Lafisha in lazavius, because it has no corners. We see, for example, when it comes to the halachas of tsaras of houses, that a house that doesn't have square perpendicular walls is not subject to tsaras, because it's not really considered a bias. So in the same way over here, Achayim say that if the sukkah is round, then you can't really consider it a bias, and therefore it's possible. So again, we see that a sukkah requires, according to them, needs a certain kriyas. Okay, so that's the whole list. And again, ein halacha kashita. For the most part, the halacha is not like these various tanarim in the individual things that they say. So now let's talk more about a round sukkah. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, sukkah ha'asurich kibshan, a sukkah that's made like a furnace, which is wound. So he holds that it's kosher, which means it actually says necessarily Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with Achayim, because we just said that Achayim say that it's possible. On the other hand, the Aruch Laner says maybe not necessarily. Maybe, after all, the Achayim used the expression keshoivach, like a birdhouse, and Rabbi Yochanan is using the expression kekibshan. So maybe we're talking about Achayim would say if it's just barely 7x7, then it's possible it needs to be larger than that. It looks like a birdhouse rather than something that a person would live in. But if it's kekibshan, it's a larger structure. For example, the Gemara is going to say now 4x4 amos, then in fact it could be kosher as a sukkah. So Rabbi Yochanan is not necessarily disagreeing with Achayim. Okay, so if a sukkah is wound like a furnace, im yesh v'akeifa k'dei leishav v'chavdal b'nei adam, if the circumference of it is enough to seat 24 people, k'sheira, then it's kosher, v'im lav psula, and if not, then it's possible. The Pnei Yeshua says an interesting point. Why does Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is now going to figure out what he means in terms of Amos, but why doesn't the Gemara just say straight out, for example, the Gemara's initial assumption is going to be that 24 people take up 24 Amos when they're sitting. So why not just say straight out, a sukkah, a round sukkah, has to have a circumference of 24 Amos? And he says, because imagine, for example, you're coming to construct a round sukkah. Practically speaking, to measure out a plot of land over there that's round is going to be very difficult. It's not like you have a particular thing to put the measuring tape along. So what are you going to do? A practical way to do it would be that you're going to have 24 people sit there in a circle, and then you're going to run the measuring tape around behind them. Right now, the Gemara is assuming we're talking about behind them. So that they're all within the sukkah, and then you're going to mark out that circle on the ground and then build your sukkah that way. So it's a practical thing how you would come to measure it. Okay. So now let's figure out the mathematics of it, the Gemara says. Kiman, who is Rabbi Yochanan going like, saying that it needs to be in the circumference, needs to seat 24 people, to Rebbe. The Pashtus he's holding like Rebbe. The Amar Kol Sukkah Shein Ba'Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Psula, who says that a sukkah has to be at least 4x4 Amos. So therefore, in other words, if he held like the Shammai that it only needs to be 7x7, then you wouldn't need a 7x7 Tachim. A circle that a circumference of 24 people is far larger than that. As the Gemara is now going to go calculate. So let's see, Mechdi. Let's consider it. Gabra Ba'Amsa Yosiv. A person usually fits in one Amah. Therefore, 24 people equals 24 amos. And we know the rule, kol sheyesh be'akeifah shlosha tefachim yesh be'reichav tefach. The ratio of the diameter of a circle to the circumference is 3:1. The Gemara tells us in Eidavin, we actually learn it from a pasuk. Now, it's true that that's not exact. Nowadays they use the symbol pi for it, and it's an irrational number. It's approximately 3 1/7. The Rambam explains that the vote is, given that it's an irrational number anyway, no matter what number we would use, necessarily it would always have to be an approximation. So therefore, the Chachamim tell us that we can approximate it, we can round it to the nearest whole number, 3, and we can use that for purposes of halacha. And we can use that according to most Rishonim, even when it comes out of Kula, as we're going to have examples of it in this sugya over here. Anyway, so given that you have a ratio of 3:1, then the Tresa Sagi, why do we need a circumference of 24? Shouldn't a circumference of 12 be enough? In other words, if the diameter of the circle is 4 amas, then the circumference is going to be about 12 amas. Again, it'll be a little more, but we're ignoring that fraction. So all you need is a width of 4 amas. So the answer is no. Hani mila di gula. Yeah, but you're thinking of a circle, aber ribua boyatre. But when it comes to a square, you need more than that. And remember, a sukkah, according to Rebbe, has to be 4x4 amos, means a square of 4x4. A square of 4x4 is going to be larger than a circle that has a diameter of 4. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Now, when the Gemara is going to go back over here with questions and answers, it's not that at each stage the Gemara actually thinks that it's that you're going to have a machshon over here who's asking and thinking why taka isn't it enough, and you need a tautin to come up with an answer. The Ritzbar explains, this whole Gemara is all one big thing where the sum of the Gemara is putting the information together, but it's the style of the Gemara to go in questions and answers in order to arrive at the fact. So it's not like at any point the Gemara actually thought sincerely that a sukkah with a circumference of 12 could be kosher, for example, according to the Shita. Anyway. So, okay. So the Gemara says, Mechti. All right, let's consider. Kama meruba yosu ala igul revia. The square is 1/4 larger than the circle. In other words, if you take a circle and then you draw a square around it at the top diagram here in the Gemara, then you're going to find that the circumference of the circle is going to be about 12, because we said the diameter of it is 4 and the circumference is about 3 times that. So that's going to be around 12. The square, meanwhile, is a square 4x4. The perimeter of it, the measurement around the four sides of it, is going to be 16, which is 1/4 larger. 16 compared to 12. Tosfos actually discusses that not necessarily. I mean, it's true as far as a circle and a square that ratio holds. However, Tosfos points out that not necessarily is the Gemara talking in terms of the circumference. It might be talking about in terms of the area. So, same idea. In other words, the area of the circle is about 3/4 of the area of the square surrounding it. But of course, it's not always, Tosfos points out, not always do you have such a ratio between the perimeter, between the measurement around the sides of something and the area of it. Not always that ratio works for squares and for circles, but not necessarily for other shapes, for example. Anyway. So, therefore, b'shitzar sagi, so if we're considering a square, you should need a perimeter of 16, 4 on each side. Why is Rabbi Yechanan telling us you need 24? And the answer is, hanimili b'igol d'nofik migoy ribua. That's true when you have a circle inside a square. But if you do that, if you draw a circle inside a square 4x4, the fact is you don't have a full square 4x4, and according to Rebbe, that's what you need. So we need the other way around. Avaribua denofik migoi gula. When the other way around, the next diagram down, where you have a square inside a circle, then boyatve, then you need more. In other words, you need the circle to be large enough to fit the entire square of 4x4. Mishum murshe gakarnasa. And the reason is because, after all, those are the corners of the square stick out. With a circle, when you have a diameter of 4, then it's 4 all the way around. It's a circle. But with a square, when we say across it, when we say the width or the height of the square is 4 amos, necessarily the diagonal is going to need to be more. So now you need to fit the diagonal in as well. So now that means the circle needs to be larger in order to fit that. Okay. The Gemara says, fine. Mechti. So let's consider, what's the formula for the diagonal? By the way, Tosfos goes on to, you can see in the continuation of Tosfos, the first diagram in Tosfos is illustrating the idea about the area of a square versus the area of a circle that they're talking about. The set further down in Tosfos, the diagrams over there with the circle and the triangle and the rectangle, is to illustrate the idea how we can show geometrically that a circle is 3/4 the area of the square. And Tosfos pictures over there that you make a circle, you make lines, you have a dot in the middle, then you have a line around that, etc., until the full size of your circle. Then you cut those lines in half and straighten them out to make the two triangles that you see in the second part of the diagram, and then you put those two triangles together to make a rectangle or a square like you see in the third one, and you measure the size of that square, and you find that that's about 25% more than the area of the circle. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So again, so we need a square of 4x4, then we need a circle that will surround that square. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mechti, so let's consider. The formula for that, we need to know the diagonal of the square, is kol amsa b'ribua amsa u'trei chum shebalachsona. Every one amma along the side of the square corresponds to 1.4 ammas along the diagonal. Now, again, this is not exact. It's again an irrational number. It's the square root of 2. It's slightly more than 1.4. But again, for purposes of halacha, the Gemara is rounding off. So that means if we have a square of 4 ammas, and we need to figure out the diagonal of it. So the diagonal, 4 times 1.4, is going to be 5.6. So the diagonal of the square is going to be 5.6. Now we need a circle to surround that. The circumference of the circle, again, is 3 times the diameter in Gemara terminology. 5.6 times 3 equals 16.8. So b'shivsa nachi chum shasagya. It should be enough, 17 minus 1/5. In other words, 16.8. So why is Rabbi Yochanan telling us that you need a circumference of 24? And the answer is, the Gemara says, Lloyd Doc. You can answer that Rabbi Yochanan is not being so precise. The question is, Amor Damrin and Lloyd Doc Purta. Okay, you can say he's being a little imprecise. If he had said it has to be a diameter of 17 or 18 amas, fine, I could buy that. Truva mi aminin, but to go all the way from 16.8 all the way to 24, what's the smarta in that? So far we have a question. Where is Rabbi Yochanan getting his figure of 24 from? So, Amalei Makshisha Breda Rav Chista L'Ravashi. So Makshisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Ravashi. Tosfos discusses in a couple of places, the Gemara mentions in some places, two sons of Rav Chista named Mar Yanuka and Mar Kshisha. Tosfos discusses that it may be that Yanuka means the young one, Kshisha means the old one. Does it mean Mar Yanuka was the younger one and Mar Kshisha was the older one? Or is it the other way around? Mar Yanuka is actually the older one who was born when Rav Chista was younger. And Mar Kshisha is the younger one who was born when his father Rav Chista was older. Anyway, so he says to Rav Ashi, Mi Savrach Gavra Ba'amsi Yosef, you're thinking, All this time we're working on the premise that a person, when they're sitting, takes up a full amma. Maybe not. Tlosa gabri b'tarti amsa yasvi. Maybe the cheshbon is that three people, actually we're talking about standing together, because they're standing over here, and then we're going to put the measuring tape around them. So when they're standing, three people can stand in 2 ammas. In other words, each one takes up only 4 tefachim. So now let's recalculate. So, kama havalahu. So, okay, if we recalculate that way, then Rabbi Yochanan's 24 people don't take up 24 amas, they take up shitza. It takes up 16 amas, 2/3 of 24. Well, the problem is, anan shivsa nachi chum shabainin. Didn't we just say that you have to have 16.8? So the Gemara says, okay, now we can say loid dok. Now we can say that Rabbi Yochanan is rounding to 16 instead of 16.8. The problem with that is Amudam Rinan Loy Dok Lachumra. We can say that he's not Medayak when it's a Chumra. For example, if he had told us that the circumference of the sukkah has to be 17 or 18, then fine, we could buy that and we could say he's being a little bit more machmir to be on the safe side. But Lakula Miyam Rinan Loy Dok, how do you say that he's not being Medayak when it's going to result in a kula? You're going to end up with a sukkah that's a little too small, which won't be able to fit a square of 4x4 amos in it. And according to Rebbe, you have to have 4x4 amos, otherwise the sukkah is possible. So you can't do that. So, Omalei Rav Ashi, the Rav Ashi, La'olam Gavra Ba'amsa Yosi. As a matter of fact, you can go back to the original assumption that each person takes up 1 am. However, what we have to say is Rabbi Yochanan is not including the space that the people themselves are taking up. In other words, all this time we were assuming that the 24 people are standing or sitting in a circle, and then the person goes around with the measuring tape or with the chalk or whatever behind them and draws his circle. Now we're going to say the other way around. What they're doing is they're sitting on the outside of a circle. So now what he does is he goes within the circle and draws the line all around and draws the line within the circle, within where they're sitting. So now we have to refigure then. In that case, what we're talking about, since we're saying that a person takes up an amma space in width, we're also assuming that a person takes up an amma space outward from the sticking out from where the sukkah is, meaning, in other words, in effect, we're talking about a circle of 8 amos diameter. Not all this time we were thinking we're talking about a circle of 6 amos diameter, or 5.6. Now we're saying that, no, we're actually talking about a circle of, about 8 amos diameter. Subtract from that the 2 amos, one on each side where the people are actually sitting. You're left with 6. And there you go. Comma, now 6 times 3 for the circumference of the circle. Comma havelahu. How much do you end up with now? Tam Yisrei. You end up with 18. So now the question is, the shivsa nachi chumsha sahya, wouldn't it be enough 16.8? Now we can answer, hainu d'loy dok, or l'chumra d'loy dok. Now we can answer that Rabbi Yochanan was rounding off and going l'chumra. Really, technically, it would be good enough with 16.8, but he's rounding up to 18. Now, why is he not rounding up to 17? The Ritva points out Rabbi Yochanan could have said that it's enough, according to that, 23 people, and it would still work, and it would come out to 17. Fine, but then you would have the diameter of the sukkah wouldn't be a whole number. It would be a fractional number of amos. Rabbi Yochanan, according to what we're saying now, wanted to give us whole figures, so 6 diameter and 18 circumference, rather than 5.66 whatever diameter and 17 circumference. But in fact, according to that, it would come out kosher even if it was only 16.8. An interesting point, actually, there's a Rishon named Rabbi Avraham Bar Abchia Hanasi, who wrote he wrote on various areas of Torah, including on mathematics. He has a sefer on mathematics. He lived a generation or two before the Rambam. Anyway, he points out, all this time we've been using the round figures that the Gemara is using, 3 for pi and 1.4 for the diagonal of a square, which Tosfos also, the second Tosfos here on the Amud, points out that we can demonstrate geometrically that 1.4 is not exact either, and you have the diagram in Tosfos over there. If you start out with a square 10 by 10, and then within it you draw a square as a diamond, like you have there in Tosfos, where you make a diagonal of each of the 4 squares, you're going to end up the inner square as an area of 50 amos, and if it's 50, then the sides of it can't be exactly 7, because 7 times 7 is only 49. So you see, therefore, that the 1.4 is not exact. And again, mathematically, it isn't. The square root of 2, which is about 1.414, a little bit larger. Anyway, Rabbi Avraham Bar Abchia Hanasi points out, listen, if you take the actual mathematical figures, rather than the ones that the Gemara has been approximating with over here, then you're going to have a sukkah with a diameter of, so you're going to have as follows. A square 4 by 4 amos is going to have a diagonal, not of 5.6, but 5.656, etc. Again, it's an irrational number. Multiply that by the actual value of pi, which is 3.14, etc., rather than 3. You actually come out to 17.77, meaning, in other words, you come out to very close to 18 amos. So therefore, that could be a justification for why Rabbi Yochanan rounded all the way to 18 rather than to 17, because in fact, 17, taka mathematically, wouldn't be enough. In fact, actually, the Tashbetz has in his Trubis, where somebody asked him along those lines, and the Tashbetz said it's a nice pshetel, but I can't accept that's the meaning in the Gemara. The reason why he's rounding is because of the Gemara saying over here he wants to go a little bit l'chumra, and he's rounding to the nearest whole number. And in general, it's the halacha is we don't have to worry about the actual, mathematical figures like Rabbi Avraham Bar Abchia is saying. We're allowed, halacha, to use the figures 3 and 1.4 and whatever, even where those result in a kula, as they would in this case, where we would say that 16.8 is enough, even though mathematically it's more like 17.8. So that would be how it is. Now, halacha nowadays, by the way, so we have the actual halacha is a sukkah only has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. So you have, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions the same concept, so we don't have to have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a circumference of 24 amos, but we do have to have, we still have to use the same formulas, using the same formulas as we have in the Gemara over here, we come out that such a sukkah would have to have a circumference of 29.4 tefachim. six tefachim to an amos, so you're talking about a circumference of slightly less than five amos. Again, if you were to use the actual mathematical figures, it would come out more. It would come out, you'd have to have over 31 for the circumference. But again, this is what we're saying. Like the Tashbuk is saying, you don't need to worry about that. You're allowed to use the Chachamim allowed you to use the smaller figures, even though mathematically it doesn't work out. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rabbanan de Kesri, the Chachamim of Kesri, of Caesarea in Eretz Yisrael, the Amrila Dayani de Kesri, or others say it wasn't the Rabbanan who sit mostly and learn in the Beis Medrash, but rather the Dayanim, the ones who are passing in practical halacha, they gave Amri, they say a formula that we can use that to explain in a different way what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So they say, Igula de Nafik mi goiri bua river. When you start out with a square and then you draw a circle inside it, like the first diagram on our Amud, then Riva, you've subtracted one quarter of the area of the square. Like we said before, in other words, if you have a square, for example, 4x4, which is an area of 16, and you draw a circle inside it, the area of the circle is going to be a little more than 12. So therefore, you've subtracted one quarter, 4 out of 16, of the area of the square. And then they continue. On the other hand, when you have a circle and then you draw a square inside it, then you're taking out half of the area of the circle. So therefore, in other words, it would come out that which means, in other words, one third of the original amount. So therefore, if we follow that formula, then it follows, therefore, that if we want the inner square to be 16 by 16, then the circle around it is going to have a circumference of 24. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is basing himself on to say that you need 24. Not like we just said that he's talking about the people sitting outside the sukkah. We can say he was talking about the people sitting inside the sukkah, but he was using the formula of the Rabbanan of Kesri. However, the Gemara says, Veloihi, but it's not so. That's not correct. We see it's not that much. When you draw a square inside a circle, you're not losing a half or a third of the area. You're losing a much smaller fraction than that. Tosfos has a couple of problems with Rashi's answer, one of them being that first we're talking about relative to the outside square, and then we're talking about relative to the inside square rather than, we should be consistent and say we're talking about relative to the outside square and relative to the inner circle. So Tosfos explains that apparently what the Dayani de Kesri understood, that the diagonal of a square is not 1.4, or a little bit more than 1.4. Like we said before, they actually apparently understand that the diagonal is equal to the length of the side. So equal to, and then therefore you have to calculate accordingly. But Tosfos says in that case, I mean, how could they make such an obvious mistake? You don't even have to measure. You look at the diagonal of a square relative to the two sides of it, and you can see the diagonal is much shorter. So therefore, Tosfos explains, and various other Rishonim and Achronim explain in slightly different ways, that what the Dayani de Kesri meant is not necessarily what the Gemara understands them to have been saying. What they were saying is that if you draw an outer square, and then you draw within it an inner square, the area of the inner square is going to be half of the area of the outer square, which mathematically is correct. And again, Tosfos gives the same diagram as they did on Amun Aleph in order to illustrate that point. The Gemara then misunderstood and thought that they are talking about the area of the inner square relative to the circle, and therefore saying that can't possibly be correct. But in fact, the Dayanid de Kesri were not talking about that at all. They were talking about just the area of the inner square relative to the area of the outer square. So in other words, teaching what they're saying that way, it would come out the circle within the inner square loses 25% of the area, which is approximately correct. And then the inner square loses half of the area, not relative to the circle, but relative to the outer square. So according to that, then, when the Gemara is saying Veloihi, in fact, the Ritva says maybe that Veloihi doesn't even belong in the Gemara. Maybe it was added by the Rabbanan Sevaroi. In other words, what would happen is that Rabbanan Sevaroi possibly misunderstood what the Dayani de Kesri was saying, and therefore said it can't be. But in fact, mathematically, it would work out if we understand them correctly. There is, by the way, a whole different explanation. So far, what we've been saying is Rabbi Yochanan, when he mentions his 24 people, is talking about the circumference of the sukkah. And therefore, we're saying that you have the people sitting outside the sukkah and you measure from there. There is actually an explanation that a number of the Rishonim suggest that maybe furthermore, maybe the Gemara was furthermore misunderstanding not just Dayane de Kesri, but Rabbi Yochanan's original statement that when he said the sukkah has to have a hekif of 24, im yesh ve hekefa, kideleisha bochav dalad me'adam, maybe it actually didn't mean that you have a circumference of 24, maybe it meant an area of 24 square amas. And that would work out mathematically, because a circle, we said before that in order to fit a square of 4x4 amas, the circle has to have a diameter of 5.6, which is the diagonal of the square. 5.6, a circle of a diameter 5.6 has an area of 24 square tefachim approximately, because you put around it a square of 5.6 by 5.6. The area of such a square is 32. The circle, we said, is about 3/4 of the area of the square around it, and 24 is 3/4 of 32. So therefore, that would work out mathematically as well. So that could be another way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, that he wasn't talking about the circumference at all, but rather the area. Next case. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Levi Mishum Reb Meir. Shtei sukkas shoyotzrin zu lefnim mizu. If you have two, potters in those days used to have as follows. People who are making pottery, they would make for themselves two sukkas, one next to the other. The inner one would be where they'd live. Now, not necessarily would they live there all the time. They had a house, but they would live there short term, here and there, for a few days here or there. Or some of the Rishonim say the work is rather that they would work inside there, they'd make their pots in there, and sometimes they'd go to sleep there, sometimes they'd sleep there overnight, while they're making their pots. The outer one would be where he makes his pots, and that's where he takes it out to sell. So, you have Shtei Sukkas Shoyotzrim Zu Lefnim Mizu. You have these two sukkahs, one inside of the other. You have to pass through the outer one to get to the inner one. Hapnimis ein sukkah. The inner one is not considered a sukkah. And the reason is, Rashi says, because it's true, we're going to have in the next Mishnah that Beis Hillel is going to say, and the halacha is like them, that you don't have to build the sukkah for the sake of the yom tov of sukkahs, but it has to be that it's something that you don't live in the rest of the year. Like this, the potter lives in this inner sukkah the rest of the year, so it's not really noticeable that he's living in there, the shame sukkah. So it's not a valid sukkah. But chayeves for mezuzah, and it would be chayev in a mezuzah the whole year round, because that's where he regularly lives. The outer one he can use as a sukkah, because he doesn't regularly live in there, and that one is potter from mezuzah throughout the year, because it's not considered a dira, because you go in and out of there, and people come in there to buy his pots, but he's not actually using it as a place to live in. So therefore, during sukkahs, he moves into that outer one, and that would be considered a valid sukkah. So you want to ask about Mai, why should that be? Why is the outer one potter from mezuzah? To have a chitzoyna kebeis shara pnimis with his chayiv mezuzah, why shouldn't we consider the outer one like a base shar, like a gatehouse to go into the inner one? Because you have to pass through it to get to the inner one. But it's chayiv mezuzah, and since the inner one is chayiv and mezuzah, so should the outer one. The same way as when you have a base shar for a house, then not only the house is chayiv, but also the base shar. And the answer is Mishum Deloy Kviya. The answer is because neither of them really has a Kviyos. So therefore, the inner one is not important enough to be considered to have a base shire. Tosfos actually points out that you have a Gemara in Yuma that says that a base shire is potter from mezuzah. So Tosfos gives two answers. First, they say maybe it's a difference what the base shire leads into. If it leads into a house, it's chayev. If it leads, let's say, into a garden or a front yard or something, then it would be potter. On the other hand, Tosfos has a problem with that explanation and says a different answer. We're talking Daraisa or Dirabanan. Daraisa, a base shire, would be potter. Dirabanan, it's chayev. And we're saying over here, because the inner sukkah doesn't even really have a kavirus of its own, because it's only something that he puts up temporarily and then moves around from one place to another, therefore it can't be considered important enough to have a base shire. Before, when we said, by the way, when we had the list of Tanoim, that we said that all hold that Sukkah Jiras Keva Be'inan, and one of them was Acherim, which usually means Reb Meir. So we're saying over here that the outer one is Potter from Mezuzah. So Tosfos learns over there at the bottom of Zion and Beis that if we say Reb Meir holds the sukkah needs to be diras keva, then in fact Reb Meir might hold that the outer sukkah over here, the outer sukkah sayotzrim, would in fact require a mezuzah, the same way as Reb Yehuda holds in the Gemara and Yuma that a regular sukkah that a person puts up on sukkahs is chayiv in a mezuzah, again for the same reason of diras keva, so Reb Meir might hold the same way. On the other hand, different Rishonim talk about maybe not necessarily. Okay. Turn it up on them. Ganvach. The sukkahs that the acronym of them is the word ganvach, and they are sukkahs goyim, a sukkah that was built by goyim, where they made it. Let's say they're not making it for the mitzvah. Obviously, they made it. Let's say just because they want to sit underneath it during in the shade of it during the summer. Sukkahs noshim, or sukkah that was built by women who are not chayiv in sukkah. Sukkahs behema, or sukkah that was made for animals to be in, to have shade for them. Or there's even a different explanation. And it means a sukkah that was made by animals. Let's say an animal needed a place for itself to have shade, and it threw together some branches and things. Or sukkahs kusim, or a sukkah that was built by kusim, where the kusim, famously, we know they're the goyim that Sancheirav imported into Eretz Yisrael after we took the 10 shvatim into Golos. And you have, there's a throughout Shas, there's a machoikas, whether they were geire emes or geire arayas, did they become geirim only out of fear of lions that were attacking them, or did they become sincere geirim? And so there's a machoikas throughout Shas, whether they're chayiv in mitzvahs or not. Eventually, the Gemara says, they discovered them worshipping Avodah Zarah, and then they declared them goyim gmurim. But here we're talking about during the time when there was a suffix about them, so we're going according to the opinion that the Tosfos says, evidently we're talking according to the opinion that they're geiri arayas. So they're not actually chayiv in a sukkah. So in that sense, they're like goyim. So any of these four, sukkah mikol makam, or any other sukkah that was made, even that's less good than these. Nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, Sheira, nevertheless, all these sukkahs are kosher. Even though all of them, all of the four that we mentioned, have a drawback that they were made by or for people who are potter from sukkah, or in the case of the one with the animal, maybe even it was made by an animal, nevertheless, they're kosher. And even sukkahs that are less important than that are also kosher. As long as it has proper schach. Now, Rashi explains, we don't mean obviously, so the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? Obviously, if it means that it has to have the halachas of schach, that the material has to be correct, and has to be tzilos and merubim and chamasa, there's no chidush in that. So my kilchasa, what are we adding by this misopechas kilchasa? Rav Chista, who saw the tzel. Rav Chista says it means that he made it for shade. In other words, for example, you can't have, let's say, that the sach was put on there, just Rashi says, let's say just for privacy. That wouldn't be considered a valid sukkah. It's true the sukkah doesn't have to be built for l'shem mitzvah sukkah, but it does have to be built l'shem tzel. It has to be made for shade rather than for some other purpose. Different other Rishonim talk about different other angles on it. It means, for example, that it can't have been built, let's say, we're going to have an example later in the perek about where you put the sach on there in order to dry it out. You could have, for example, that the schach was put on there, let's say, in order to store things inside it or whatever. So all those things, it wouldn't be kosher. It'd have to be the schach was placed on there, l'shem tzel. The Alter Rebbe, in fact, writes in Shulchan Aruch that if the schach was placed on there, l'shem dira, then it's, in order to dwell in there, then it's also no good. That's what we were just saying about the sukkah's hayotzrim, about the potter's inner sukkah, where he put schach on it, and it is kosher schach. However, he didn't put it on there, l'shem sukkah, he put it on there, l'shem dira, because he lives in there for a period of time. And therefore, we're saying that it's not kosher, and therefore, for sukkahs, he needs to move to the outer one. So the same thing over here, as long as the goy or the woman or whoever put up the schach on their l'shem tzel for the sake of shade, then it's kosher. As opposed to, for example, if they put it up for privacy or to have a storage space for things or whatever. Okay. So who shasol, the tzel sukkah, as long as he made it for the shade of a sukkah. So not necessarily for the mitzvah, but at least for the purpose of shade. Okay, so we said in the Braisa that you have four things, and then we said sukkah mikol makam kshera. So sukkah mikol makam lasuyamai. What does the word sukkah mikol makam come to include? What other kind of sukkahs are there that are of a lesser caliber than these four? And the Braisa is saying that they're still kosher. So there is lasuya sukkah rach bash. That comes to include the four sukkahs that the acronym of them is the word rach bash. The Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in another Braisa, sukkahs rach bash. and they are sukkas royim, a sukkah that was put up by shepherds, where while they're shepherding the sheep or whatever, they put up a temporary hut for themselves to stay inside, or sukkas kayotzim, or a sukkah that was made by people who are drying fruit during the summer, so you have to have somebody guarding the fruit so people don't walk off with it, so you build the sukkah for that purpose, or sukkas burgonin, a sukkah that was built by city watchmen, where they build it outside the city in order to guard the city, and sukkas shremiteris, a sukkah that was made by people who are guarding fruit that's growing, let's say. Now, in all of these cases, the royim or the kayatim or whatever are Jews, but they didn't make the sukkah to begin with. So here the drawback is, yes, they were Jews who made it, but they didn't make it for the sake of Yom Tov. They just made it stand. So nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that all of those, sukkah mikol makom, or even a sukkah of a lesser caliber, ksheira, is kosher. Again, uvad shtem is schachas kirchasa, as long as the schach was placed on it properly. And again, my kirchasa, amen of chistav urshasol at sale sukkah. Means that it was placed as if it was placed there for the sake of shade, rather than, as we said before, for privacy, or to store things inside it or whatever. So the same thing. In other words, so the first Braisa is listing ganvach, and then it's saying that the other four, rakbash, are included under the term sukkah mikol makom, a sukkah of any kind, even if it's a lesser caliber. And the second braisa, so sukkah mikol makom la'asuyimai, in the second braisa, what's the word sukkah mikol makom coming to include? And the answer is la'asuyis sukkahs ganvach. It comes to include the four ganvach sukkahs that we said before. So, in other words, you have two braises that are coming, both braises, in other words, agree that all eight sukkahs are kosher, but they're coming at it from a different perspective. The first braise is coming from the perspective that the ganvach sukkahs are better, the rakbash sukkahs are worse, and nevertheless, we're still saying even the rakbash ones are kosher, even as long as the schach was placed on there for shade. And the other braise is doing the other way around. The other braise assumes that rakbash is better. There's less of a chiddush that rakbash is kosher. There's more of a chiddush that ganvach is kosher. And he's saying even though, nevertheless, even those are kosher. So, the Gemara explains. Hi Tana de Ganvach, Alimele Ganvach, the Tana of the first Braisa holds that the Ganvach sukkahs are stronger, and there's more reason to say that they're kosher, and therefore less of a chiddush in that, Mishum de Kvi. Because after all, the sukkah made by goyim or women or whatever has more of a kvius to it. They didn't just put it up for a day or two at a time. The Kartonim, Makom Makom, Lasu Yirak Bash, to like Kvi. So therefore he says, now also though sukkah mikol makom, even the sukkah made by royim, kayotzim, etc., which is so temporary, they usually only put it up for a day or two at a time, nevertheless, also that one is fine. The high tana de rakbash, alimele rakbash, whereas the tana of the second braisa says the other way around. Rakbash is better, dibnei chiyuvaninu, because after all, the royim and kayotzim and so forth are Jews who are chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah. Fine, they didn't put it up l'shem sukkah, but you don't have to, as this Hillel is going to tell us in the next Mishnah. Batonim, Mikol Makom, Asuya Ganvach. So he adds Sukkah Mikol Makom to include also the sukkahs that were made by goyim and women and so forth, Delav Nechiyubaninu, even though they're not Chayab and Sukkah, he's saying nevertheless the Schach was placed on them for the sake of shade, and therefore that's good enough for us, and you can consider those, and you can consider those valid sukkahs. So in other words, in short, all eight sukkahs are kosher according to both Tanoim. But they're just arguing which group is there a greater chiddush in, and which group is there a lesser chiddush in. The ones that are there permanently but were made by people or even animals that are not chayev, or the ones that were made by people who are chayev in sukkah but were only made there for temporary. They're made for a day or two at a time. There's an interesting sefer from David Pardo, one of the great Sardish Rabbanim a couple hundred years ago. He has a bunch of svarim that have David in their titles. One of them is called Lamnatseach LaDavid, which is Chidushim of his on Shas. In the back of it, he goes through all of the simonim in Shas and explains on a deeper level what all of them mean. So over here, he talks about our Ganvach and Rakbash over here. And he says, ganvach is malashin ganav, as if you have, like you're making like a lesser quality sukkah over here, and you're maybe not able to bring down the full effect, milamaila, of a sukkah, but you're able to, so to speak, steal some of that hashpah and bring it into your sukkah as well. Therefore, ganvach. And then, on the other hand, on Shabbos, you have everything goes to a higher level. Therefore, you have more ability to accept, to access that Kedusha. Therefore, the second group is Rak Bash, which stands for Rak B'Shabbos. Only on Shabbos do you have that you're able to get a greater level of Ashpa, even though you're sitting in such a low quality sukkah. Okay. Let's continue again. We want to be able to get today's daf was Zayin, but again, we want to get a little ahead of ourselves so that we have it in the bag before Tisha B'Av. So the next Mishnah says, Sukkah Yishana, an old sukkah, which as the Mishnah is going to go on to explain, means a sukkah that was built more than 30 days before Sukkot, without specifying that it was for Sukkot. Bes Shammai posten or Bes Hillel machshirin. Bes Shammai says it's possible, Bes Hillel says it's kosher. Bes Shammai, in other words, says that the sukkah has to be built l'shma, and the Hillel disagrees. So if it's built within 30 days of Sukkot, Rashi says, even Bes Shammai is going to agree that it's fine, because during 30 days is the time when you're sholin v'doshin, you're asking and you're discussing halachas of Sukkot. So therefore, already when you build a Sukkot during that time, we assume you're making it for Sukkot. But more than 30 days before, not necessarily. The Hillel says it's kosher because they don't care about that. The Ezer is Sukkah Yishana. What is considered a Sukkah Yishana? Kol Shasa, Kodem L'chag, Shloshim Yom, if he made it more than 30 days before Sukkot. Avol im asar l'shem chag, but if he made it for the sake of Yom Div, afilu mitchilas hashana k'sheira, even if he made it at the beginning of the year, then it's going to be kosher. Now, the beginning of the year obviously doesn't mean the beginning of this year, because that's within 15 days before Sukkot. We mean even the beginning of last year. So even if he put it up last year, Rosh Hashanah, and now he wants to use it this year, Sukkot, then we're saying because he made it having in mind for Sukkot, then even Beis Shammai would be fine with it. Tosfos actually brings over here that brings from the Yerushalmi that you would actually have to take off at least a little bit of the sach and replace it. Either a tefach by a tefach or al pnei kula along one entire edge of the sukkah. And that's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch that even though we're saying that a sukkah yeshana is kosher, still tzorech l'chadish b'dabur, you still, as Tosfos is bringing over here, you have to do something new to it. Put on new sach, take off some of the sach and replace it, whatever. So the Gemara says, my time of the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai say that a sukkah yeshana is possible, unless you did it for the sake of sukkahs? So Omar Kuro, because they say, because the pasuk says, chag ha-sukkah shivas yomim l'ashem, that means sukkah ha-suri l'shem chag v'inim. You have to have a sukkah that's made for the purpose of sukkahs. Or Beis Hillel, what would Beis Hillel answer to that? They say, ahum b'ayle l'chidur sheshes. No, we're not going to learn from that you need the sukkah to be made l'shem chag. We need that to teach us what Rav Sheshes says. The Amr of Sheshes mishum Rav Akiva, minayin la'atze sukkah sa'asurin kol shiva. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah, the walls of the sukkah, the schach, is also b'hana, you're not allowed to, let's say the sukkah falls down, for example, we're going to talk later in the Masechta, you're not allowed to use those anytime during sukkahs, throughout the whole 7 days of sukkahs. Now, Talmud Lama, chag ha-sukkah, shivas yomim la-Hashem. Therefore, the Pasuk says, chag ha-sukkah, 7 days for Hashem, implying that throughout those 7 days, the material is reserved for Hashem, and you can't use it. V'tanya, and we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserayim, k'shem shachal shem shamayim al chagiga, just as the name of Hashem applies to the chagiga, when you designate a korban for chagiga, then of course shem shamayim is chal on them, and you can't have hanor from them until after the imurim are burnt on the mizbeach. Kach chal shem shamayim al sukkah, the same way, the shem shamayim goes on the sukkah, and the same way, you're not allowed to use the wood and the material of the sukkah. Shenema chag ha-sukkah, shivas yom la-Hashem. So we learn, in other words, chag means a chagiga, ma chag la-Hashem, af sukkah la-Hashem. So just like the chag belongs to Hashem, so does the sukkah. So if not for that, Tosfos says, then we would say that it means it has to be the shem chag, like the Shana is saying. But since we're saying chag ha-sukkahs, then it means, in other words, that it has to be that the sukkah has to be similar to the chagiga in that it's reserved for Hashem throughout the 7 days, and you can't use it for anything else. Tosfos discusses over here is this isser actually daraisa or derabanan. Tosfos distinguishes between, maybe it's also daraisa, when the sukkah is standing, then for example, you're not allowed to break off a piece of it and use it. But let's say the sukkah fell down during sukkahs, then the fact that you're not allowed to use the material of it throughout the rest of sukkahs is only derabanan. So, ubis shamai nami boile lahochi. And what about this shamai? Don't they need Don't they need this pasuk for that derasha? So how do they have it? Because they also agree that the material of the sukkah is also for use throughout the 7 days. So how are they learning that the sukkah has to be made l'shem sukkah? So the answer is Eino Chanami. You're right. Ela my time out of Beis Shammai. So why does Beis Shammai say the sukkah has to be built l'shem sukkah? Because k'siv k'rachrina. Because you have a different pasuk. It says chagas sukkahs tasa l'choshiv as yamin. You should make for yourself a chagas sukkahs for 7 days. Which means, and again, so it's again, it says chagas sukkahs. And you have two different sukkahs that say chagas sukkahs. So from that one, we learn sukkah has to be l'shem chag v'enin. So you need a sukkah that was made for the chag. Or Beis Hillel, now what does Beis Hillel answer to that? They say, they say, yeah, no, there's something else we're learning from that. The fact that you're allowed to build a sukkah even during Chol HaMoed. If you didn't make a sukkah before sukkahs, means, in other words, that you can make a sukkah during the Chag. Or Beis Shammai, meanwhile, Beis Shammai holds like Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer was, in fact, the Talmud of Beis Shammai. And Rebbe Eliezer holds later on in the Masechta that you're not allowed to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. According to him, you have to have a sukkah that's usable for the entire 7 days of sukkahs. So therefore, so that's where we stand right now. So it comes out like this. According to Beis Shammai, you have to build a sukkah before sukkahs. You can't build it during Chol HaMoed. Therefore, they have a pasuk available to teach us, the second pasuk, Chag HaSukkahs, to teach us that it has to be built l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Beis Hillel says no, the two pasukim, and then the second one they learn from that the material of the sukkah is also to use. Beis Hillel says no, the first one teaches us that you are allowed to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, and the second one teaches us that the wood and material of the sukkah is also, and there's no pasuk to tell us that it has to be built l'shma, and therefore they say it doesn't have to be built l'shma, which is why they say a sukkah yishana is kosher. Okay, that's to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Shkeach.
Shkeach, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good day.